3, 9, and 10. Contend, Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and armor. Arise and come to my aid. Banish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to me, I am your salvation. Turn my soul with rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them. To pray for rescue is to admit that you need a rescuer. To pray for peace is a reminder that life can be chaotic. In Psalm 35:7, David is overwhelmed by the violence that surrounds him. But the real salvation that the Lord brings in the midst of it. David prays for the Lord to contend with his enemies and to fight his battles. David finds peace in the God who loves him and comes to his rescue. Many times in our own life, there is chaos. And the more we try to stop the chaos by our own power, the worse it becomes. But only when we look to Jesus for salvation, we can be at true peace. Looking to Jesus reminds us that we can and not save ourselves by our own power, but we need to lean on the power of God who loves us and came to rescue us.
Let's pray. As we light the candle of peace, let us pray. Lord, we are reminded that you are our Savior who loves us. You are delighted to contend for us. You are delighted to save us. Lord, I pray that you bring peace into the life of your church, into the life of those who are far from you, and into the lives of those who are seeking you today. Amen.
Well, good morning. Everyone doing well? Everyone staying healthy? Somewhat? Maybe that was the wrong question to ask. But how about we pray a little bit this morning? How's that sound? I know there's a lot of people that are just feeling unwell. My kids are at home sick. I know a lot of people are sick. Some people are just not feeling good. Some people have been in and out of the hospital, so let's just take a moment, all right? If you have someone next to you, feel free to kind of pray with them, put a hand on them, or not. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in just awe of you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And in this weary, weary world, we just know that you are our strength. You are our comfort. I pray right now, Lord, that those who are feeling sick, those who are just not well, those who may have health issues going on right now in this time of year, Lord, I pray that you would just give comfort to those. I pray that you would give peace in their heart. I pray that you would give them strength to overcome. I pray that you would heal them. Just be with them, Lord. And Lord, as we continue in this series, we just pray that you would guide us. Because during this season, it's so easy to just feel everything else. It's so easy to be confused. It's so easy to be just thinking about what else needs to happen. And Lord, we just want to come back to you. We want to find our peace. In your name we pray. Amen. So speaking of peace, this week, at week two, we're going to be talking about the peace that saves. And I'm going to try not to say it as much if nobody can hear. The tongue twister for me when the district and the powers that be that thought of the title of this series didn't think about me saying it. But the weary world rejoices. I have a problem with my W's sometimes. My wife makes fun of me because some quick story, you guys can laugh at me, it's fine. I forgot what I said, but because the thank you. The W's and stuff like that. And I was talking about we can put a roof rack on my wife's 4Runner, and I was like, we put a woof whack. And I've never lived that one down. So anytime I stumble and stutter a little bit in my words, my kids and wife lovingly look at me and say, is it your woof whack? So it is what it is, but the weary world rejoices. But God brings us peace, amen? Through Jesus Christ, we have found peace. He is the peace that saves us. He is the one that comes to us. Last week, we talked about hope. We talked about the kind of hope that does not depend on what the world can build. Amen. But on who God sends. We looked at the true King, Jesus, the one who reigns with justice, with wisdom, and peace. And when you truly let the King into your heart, something begins to happen. The restlessness in your soul begins to quiet. And you start to experience what Scripture calls peace. But as we go deeper this week, because the peace God gives us is different than the peace the world offers. It doesn't depend on everything going smoothly. It doesn't depend on how much you know. It doesn't depend on how much you have. It comes from knowing a Savior who is with you and at work with you in your life, if you accept Him. And that is true peace. Because the world has its own definition of peace, right? When it's like, you know, the more you make, it says when peace, says peace is when everything fails, everything feels comfortable. The world will say that peace is when everything feels comfortable to you. Let's be honest. How often does everything feel comfortable? Never. The world will say that peace is when conflict disappears. Look at our world. So by the world's definition of that, we wouldn't be in peace. It says, when life finally goes the way that you planned, you'll have peace. And for a moment, that feels good, doesn't it? For a moment. But the peace that the world offers us is fragile. The peace that the world offers us only lasts until the next crisis, until the next heartbreak, until the next fear. One phone call, one diagnosis can break that peace. One unexpected change can expose how thin that peace really is. But the Bible offers us something far greater. True peace is not the absence of trouble, chaos in our life. It's the presence of Jesus in the middle of it. Amen? True peace is with Christ. This truth becomes clearest when and how God sent his Son into a world for the promised peace that the prophets spoke about. You know, in Isaiah 7:14, and we're going to be jumping around a little bit this morning, so if you want, you can just pay attention, okay? We're not in our series in Acts. We're not going verse by verse. I'm doing a little bit of jump rope. You're good. But Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. We'll call him." And Emmanuel means God with us. Okay? Not God above us, not God beyond us, not God away from us. God with us. In the fear, in the darkness, in the chaos of life, Jesus came. In Isaiah 7, peace was for a terrified people. That still is true today, isn't it? The promise of peace began in the days of Isaiah. So Judah was being crushed by fear. Armies were gathering around them. And the king felt trapped between political pressures and military threats and everything going on. And this nation was gripped by fear and anxiety, confusion over what tomorrow may bring. And in that fear, God told the prophet Isaiah to speak to King Ahaz. God literally says, "Ask me for a sign." And in other words, you know, says, "Let me prove to you that I am still your peace." And this is what he offered. But Ahaz refused in a way. Well, not in a way, he did. He went a different direction. He would rather build alliances than build faith. He preferred that control over the surrender of self. And he trusted the strategies that he was coming up with that people were probably telling him, that might have been talking to him with in the council, whatever you want to call it. He trusted that more than a savior. Does that sound familiar to any of our lives? Yeah? We trust, we listen to our friends, we listen to our teachers, our coaches. And I'm not saying don't take this out of context, okay? And do not walk into school on Sunday and be like, "My pastor said I don't have to listen to you." Okay? Not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is sometimes we put that full 100% trust into those things, but we don't put that trust into God. And when this happened, and the prophet Isaiah was told to speak to King Ahaz, and King Ahaz kind of dismissed it, God didn't walk away from that. God gave a sign anyway. A child would be born. His name would be Emmanuel. It was a sign that when human strength collapses, God continually remains present. And it pointed ahead to a time when God himself would step into human history to bring peace not only to Judah, but to all people through. And Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." So fear has taken over. Hope has run out in some people's lives. And when this human facade of peace that our world gives us has failed, divine peace arrived through the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. So we are being rescued through our suffering. We can look at another picture, and if we go back, I'm not going to read the whole story. Great story, though, if you guys want to fill in the blanks. But the life of Joseph. Okay, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was abandoned. He was sold into slavery. He was accused falsely, thrown into prison, and literally forgotten. And from the outside, it looked like his life was anything but peaceful, was it? If we all went through that, we'd be like, what? Where's the peace in this? How is this peace? But behind every injustice that was happening to Joseph, God was weaving in salvation. And in Genesis 45, Joseph stands before the very brothers who hurt him after he was released, after he became, you know, ruling and reigning and in control of a lot of things and of the grains. He went before his brothers. Well, his brothers came to him and he talked to them and he says, it was to save the lives that God sent me ahead of. God's story, what he knows, what he understands, even through our chaos, is to fulfill peace at his appointed time. So in Joseph's life, if Joseph would have sat there and just sat down and been like, this is happening, that's happening, nobody knows who I am. I was like, my brothers, my family basically disowned me. It would have been very easy in that moment to throw in the towel, to give up, to say I'm done. And the world, a lot of times, promotes that. Just stop. Not good enough. You're never going to get there. But God says the opposite. God says, lean on me and I'll give you strength. God says, lean on me and I'll give you hope. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. Surrender to me. So Joseph, through this and through his faith, he says, it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Joseph could have even punished his brothers. He could have held on to the bitterness, but instead he forgave and he offered grace. So he became the means of rescue for the very ones who rejected him. And if we think about it, how often do we hear during this season, during Christmas, when it's like, 'tis the season, forgive, love. But let's ask ourselves, are there those in our lives that we need to forgive? Are there those in our lives that we've been holding on to bitterness? Because the peace that God offers through Christ is when we surrender that stuff to Him. When we say, I can't do this anymore, I give it to God. It's not us giving up. It's us being embraced and held by His strength and power. And this, Joseph's story, is a foreshadowing of Jesus. That Jesus was rejected by His own people. He suffered unjustly. He chose forgiveness over revenge, chose mercy over judgment. He chose peace over hostility. Isaiah 53:5 says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. So what do you need today? What do you need rescue from? you need rescue from the chaos of life, the go, go, go. You need rescue from sin in your life. You need rescue from the lies that the world tells you that steal your peace. Because only the Savior, Jesus Christ, brings the peace that the world needs. Weary world rejoices. They rejoice through Jesus Christ. We rejoice through the peace that Jesus Christ brings. And I'll tell you what. When I am struggling, when I am confused, giving it to God and just finding peace in knowing that, hey, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But you got me. And I find peace in you. It's a very freeing feeling. But sometimes, just because, but wait, there's more, right? As human beings, we have this lovely ability to think we need to do more stuff or think in extra ways. So instead of what the Lord is offering, a lot of times, what do I want instead? We try to rescue ourselves. And here's the conflict. We deeply need rescue, but we resist being rescued. We need it, but we're like, no, 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 no. I can be my own savior, we say. I can do this. I got this. We say I can be someone else's savior if I just help you, if I just keep doing this, if I just keep providing, if I just keep doing this and doing that and helping you out, I can be your peace. We say I will decide how I want to be saved. At this time and date, in these parameters, we say that's how I want it. Sometimes, some of us say, I don't even need saving at all. I got this. I don't need God. I don't need a Savior. But this desire shows up in the Christmas story that when Jesus came, Israel expected, in their terms, a conquering king. They wanted a political hero. They wanted power. They wanted strength. They wanted God on their terms. But instead, God sent an infant wrapped in cloth. He sent what they needed, not what they wanted. And we're not much different, are we? We want God to work in the way that we prefer, at the time we choose, and in the way we expect. But God saves us according to His wisdom, not our expectation. So we try to create a peace that depends on our success, our own relationships, our job, our control, our comfort. And we tell ourselves, if I can just adjust this one thing over here in my life, I will have peace. If I can just fix this one scenario, I will have peace. If I can get that next promotion, I will have peace. But peace that is built in our effort will eventually crack. It is not sustainable. Because peace grounded in self collapses under the pressure, because we cannot bear that pressure. We are not that strong. If you really look at it, and science backs it up, we are weak. If you think about the human body, like, you can be a bodybuilder, you can work out, you can do all these things, and it is not guaranteed. In our own self, we do not have that strength. David Paul Tripp once Well, he wrote, when we minimize our sin, we do not cry out for the rescuing grace that is ours in Christ. Let me read that again. When we minimize our sin, we do not cry out for the rescuing grace that is ours. When we minimize our need, and in doing so, we miss the Savior who is standing by ready to rescue. Because we say, I'm good. Got it. Now think about it. Can you imagine this? A river. White water rapids. You fall in. Okay? We're human. We all fall into sin. Okay? And Jesus is standing there. You know, he's got his red lifeguard shorts on. Got long hair, you know it. He look cool. Got his ring, and he's like, standing waiting. He's like, all right, when you get close enough, I got you. When you come to me, I got you. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm going to keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep, right? We cannot hold ourselves up. We cannot do that of ourselves. There's been seasons in my own life where I have convinced myself that I can fix my, that I can fix my own heart if I try hard enough or if I push through in my own strength. I told myself I was fine. You know, I try to lead, to serve, to parent, to pastor, all while holding on to this quiet chaos that's inside myself. And every time that I've ever tried to rescue myself, the weight has grown heavier. Heavier till I finally just crack and fall. But every moment that I finally stopped and surrendered, Jesus met me with a peace that I could not create. Not because I figured life out, heck no, but because I finally admitted that I needed him. And that's what Jesus brings, real peace. Matthew 1 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Jesus did not come to show us how to climb up to God. Jesus came to bring God down to us. He did not come to teach us how to earn peace. He came to give us peace through his presence and his sacrifice. Because John 15:13 tells us that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And that's the love of the cross. Jesus did not just talk about peace. He bled for it. He purchased it. Ephesians 2:14 says, he himself is our peace. Not peace as a feeling, not peace as a mood that we have throughout the day, is peace as a person, living, breathing person who is there for you. And the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, which means wholeness. Okay, we go deeper into that word. It's everything broken, restored, everything lost, returned, everything fractured, made whole again. So Jesus doesn't simply remove guilt. He heals what the guilt has damaged. Jesus doesn't merely patch wounds, which is what the world would tell us to do, right? Just cover it up, patch it up. No, he restores the heart that's behind it. He does not only forgive sins. He creates a new identity through himself. Galatians 4 says that through Christ, you are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. So peace is knowing that you have been brought home to the Father's love, to his peace. So the question is, are you actually letting Jesus save you? Or are you still trying to save yourself? Do you welcome the Savior? That is a word. Do you welcome the Savior? And in order to welcome him, you must acknowledge your need for him. You must admit your sin. You must confess your chaos. You must let go of control. You must stop pretending that you are fine. So today we're taking communion, amen? And in that truth, there's a reminder that when we take the bread and the cup, we are saying, I cannot save myself. I remember you who saved me. Communion is receiving grace. Communion is accepting rescue. It's surrender. Don't just look at this as a, let's remember him, because that is part of it. We're remembering Christ. Take the opportunity in these moments to surrender yourself to him and say, I am yours. I can't do this. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. Thank you for your body that was torn and buried and rose again for me. You offer me the peace that I have through you. Every morning we wake up, maybe just a simple prayer, something like, Jesus, I need you. Be my Savior today. Rescue me from fear, from sin, from myself. Bring peace where I have unrest, and help me trust that you are enough. And let that peace continue to overflow to someone else. Forgive someone. It is the season. Reconcile with someone. Serve someone in that quiet love. Carry the peace that Jesus carried into the world around you. Carry the peace that Jesus puts in your heart to the world around you. So Joseph told his brothers, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good. So what is true in Genesis becomes fully true at Calvary. The world meant the cross for death, but God meant it for life. And this is the power of our Savior Christ. That peace is not found in what you control. Peace is found in who holds you. So Jesus, sometimes we think that Jesus comes to always stop the storm. But Jesus came to be your peace. Sometimes things happen. Jesus can stop it. Jesus can do all things. But sometimes in those moments, we don't need to say, you fulfill my need at this moment to how I want you to fulfill it. We just need to surrender and say, hold me through this, because I don't know when it's going to end, but I know you have the strength to carry me. And this world, I don't know what it is, something about it, feels heavy during this season. I'm no different. A few less pounds, so I'm not as heavy. But there's something that happens during Christmas. This season, the fog, the cold weight just starts feeling heavy in certain areas of our life. But peace is found when we surrender to him. So before we close today, and I'll invite the worship team up, I want to speak to all of us, but primarily the person who feels the tug in your heart. Have peace. Hear about a rescuing Savior. You hear about who Christ is, but something inside you knows that you need it and you haven't accepted it. You realize you can't save yourself, but you know that the peace that you have built keeps breaking. And you want peace that only Jesus can. And maybe you're here and you've accepted Christ. And you just need to remind yourself that it's peace through Him. And if that's you, the Savior is reaching out for you right now. He came for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose so you could have a life and peace through Him. And He asks that you turn to Him in faith, not in your condition, not in your parameters, in faith. Turn to Him. So if today you want to accept Christ into your heart, you want to rededicate your life to Christ, it is very simple. And we don't even have to close our eyes. But just say, Jesus, save me. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, for the life that you've tried to hold on to yourself. Say, Jesus, make me new through you. Tell Him, Lord, I believe you are. I have faith in you today. That you want to follow Him and turn away from the world that is not providing peace. And next week, we will see that same Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, who rescues us, also cleanses us, filling our hearts with joy. A little precursor next week is joy. All right? Let's pray this morning.